Lots of you messaged. Oh, sorry. Good morning to you. Welcome back. Lots of you texting in on our conversation, which dominated the first hour of the show. Shame on the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, for not meeting the defective concrete block affected. Shame on him. My heart goes out to them all. Another, I think the people in government are more concerned about photo ops than working to get this sorted. Maria on X. My blood's boiling and my heart is breaking listening to affected homeowners. The toll that this has had on people is horrendous. Our government is failing our people. These people are living a nightmare. Our politicians and leaders do not care. Another, government had no problem signing off $330,000 for a bike shed while Mica affected families struggled for payments. And the thing about that bike shed story, and I get it, right? It's a sexy story because it seems ridiculous. You know, you could build that for 25 grand and it costs $330,000 and it's a big scandal. But it's not. If we had the national media, and there's some great allies nationally, by the way, to the defective concrete block campaign. But if we had the same kind of outrage in the media over the defective concrete block crisis and how it's treating people as we did over a $330,000 bike shed, it would really advance the cause of those that are genuinely suffering. So I ain't too bothered about that bike shed. I would just love to see the same level of outrage over this scheme where there are problems with it compared to epoxy bike shed. Let's see, where are we? Simon Harris had no problem giving Ukraine 36 million of taxpayers' money, but can't give extra money for all the DCB homeowners. Another, we need another march, and Paddy's the man to organise it. Another here, shame on the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, for not meeting people in Donegal. Another person referencing Ireland's donation to Ukraine there. And on it goes. I'll get through all of them, by the way, but I'm going to take a short break now to bring you the bingo numbers. And then Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh is going to join us with the latest in appeals and information from An Garda Síochána. That's coming up in just a couple of moments.
The Community Garda Information Slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Now it is 14 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 10th of September, and it's time for Community Garda Information. And really pleased to welcome back into studio Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh from Letterkenny Garda Station. Hi, Eunan. Thanks.
Morning,
so much,
Greg.
For your
How are
time.
You?
Good.
Thank you.
Good. I feel a bit closer to you now because we're now both Camino walkers.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, your experience is slightly greater than mine.
I was on the Spanish Camino last week, but from watching your posts and keeping in touch at home, I think the weather at home was slightly better.
I think so. And I was saying to you off air, before we get into things, there's a lovely actual, lovely sort of sense of community or camaraderie amongst walkers in those Caminos. I only did a tiny thing compared to what you do, but I genuinely can see the attraction to it as well.
I actually walked one part of the Donegal Camino a couple of years ago from Fulcara around by Muckish and Tards, and there was about 20 to 30 people walking, and great atmosphere, yeah. And great fun, you know.
Good stuff. All right, okay. Well, you're welcome back. Okay, we have lots to get through, so we'll begin with appeals, and this is where you, the great public of the Northwest, might be able to help An Garda Síochána as they continue their investigations. And very sadly, unfortunately, we have to begin with a fatal road traffic collision which occurred in Quigley's Point, Eunan.
Yes, Greg, Gardaí in Buncrana are currently investigating a fatal road traffic collision that occurred last Friday night, the 6th of September, at approximately 11:15 p.m. Two vehicles were involved in the collision, which occurred at Carrowkeel in Quigley's Point. A female backseat passenger in one of the cars, Donna McDermott from Greencastle, was fatally injured as a result of the collision. And our thoughts and prayers are with Donna's family and friends and the widespread community in the Greencastle area. The female driver of the car, aged in her 70s, and a male front seat passenger in his 50s were both removed from the scene to Alt na Gailvin and Letterkenny University hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. And the male driver in his teens of the other second car was uninjured. So we're appealing for any witnesses to this collision to come forward. We're appealing for any road users who may have had camera footage, including dash cam, who were travelling in the area at the time of the collision, to make the footage available to Gardaí in Buncrana. And anybody who may have any information is to contact Buncrana Garda Station 074 93 20540. The confidential line 1-800-666-111. That's 1-800-666-111. Or again, any Garda Station.
And it, as with all these appeals union, and maybe it is perfectly clear because you made it very clear, it's not necessarily an instant at the actual time, it's leading up to it, after it. Any information the public have in any of these appeals, you're more than you're welcome.
Yes, maybe not directly at the time, but maybe beforehand they may have seen one of the cars prior to the collision. And again, any bit of information that may be of relevance, we'd ask people to make it available to us, please.
Okay. Now, investigations ongoing into a burglary in Letterkenny.
Yes, this is a burglary which occurred in the Ashbrook estate, Greg, last Tuesday this week, the 3rd of September, between 1:15 p.m. and shortly before 2 p.m. We believe at this stage that a hidden spare key for the house was located and used to gain entry via the rear door. The house was ransacked and a substantial sum of money and some property were stolen from within. And again, the appeal is for anybody who may travelled in the area of Ashbrook or the general circular road area of Letterkenny and who has dash cam travelling on the road between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. on the date to make the contact with us and make the dash cam available. And again, anybody who has any information or may have been offered stolen property or cash in suspicious circumstances, to contact Letterkenny Garda Station 07491 67100 or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Yep, broad daylight between 1 and 2 p.m. this day last week if you saw anything. To Ballyshannon now, a case of criminal damage.
Yes, this is 2 days ago, Sunday the 8th of September, between 4:30 p.m. and 5 p.m. A male person went to the rear of the parochial house at College Street, Ballyshannon, between these times, where he caused damage to a glass unit located there. He fled the scene on foot after being disturbed. So we appeal to anybody who may have travelled in the area, again, who may have witnessed a male person in the area, or anybody who has dash cam, to make it available to Gardaí at Ballyshannon, 071 985850. That's 071 985850.
Criminal damage this time in Letterkenny.
Yes, this is an incident, Greg, of criminal damage which occurred at Lower Main Street in the early hours of Sunday, the 8th of September. So sometime on Saturday night, Sunday morning, between 12:20 a.m. and 3:15 a.m. A car was parked at the Lower Main Street area, and when the owner returned to the car, he discovered that the front wipers and registration plate had been ripped off the vehicle. So anybody who has witnessed this incident or has any relevant information, to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny, 07491 67100.
Now, theft from Drumlanagher outside Donegal Town.
Yes, this is a theft which occurred on the weekend of Friday the 30th of August between 6 p.m. and Monday the 2nd of September at 6 a.m. So sometime over the weekend of that, those dates, a lorry had been parked in the area of a business premises for the weekend, during which time the lorry battery was disconnected and stolen. So it may have taken some time to do the deed there. Mm. So if anybody observed any suspicious activity or vehicles in that area, I presume that a vehicle would have been involved with a battery to been removed, we'd ask them to contact the Gardaí at Ballyshannon again, 07198 58530.
Now, heads up on another scam, this time using the gov.ie falsely.
Yes, we've had a number of reports of a tech scam received by government.ie. So it's, again, it's a national problem, but also we've had reports of it locally, a number at Letterkenny in the last couple of days. The scam involves recipients, they inform the recipient that they're entitled to a household benefit package and other such state benefits and asked recipients to click on a link to forward their bank details. Recipients then may subsequently receive a phone call purporting to be from their bank, informing them they have been scammed and that the bank now needs to take possession of their bank card. So a courier then calls to the house to collect their bank card. So initially you get a call, a text, and then you get a phone call afterwards saying that you've been scammed. So it's kind of a double kind of hit. And so it's purporting from being mygov.ie, and I think people may see that on a text or an email, and they think because it mentions government that it's genuine, but it's not. Similar fraud in texts and phone calls could be received from other state agencies or legitimate business. So we're warning the public to be aware of any texts they receive requesting personal bank details. Never disclose your bank details and PIN, and never hand over your bank card to anyone.
Now, are they sending like a courier company unknownst?
Well,
do we know? Or?
Well, it could be somebody just in a car who has your address, get your phone number,
wow,
and contact
it's incredibly
you.
Involved.
So you may overreact, think that you have been scammed by the first call, email or text that you received, And then you think, oh, I better do something about this, and I'll hand over my details. And then all of a sudden, your card is gone. So
all
again,
right. Can't be careful enough. A caller had a question about oil spillages on roads. You know,
yeah, I was chatting
there
to Grania about this. Grania was, we're not worried. We don't know whether it's oil of a load of a lorry or oil from car radios or stuff like that. So we'll ask the caller to please get back in touch with us in the station, and we'd inquire further.
Get more info, yeah. Exactly. Right, okay. Also, to encouraging people in this area or advising them of the report of the scope and inquiry into historical sexual abuse.
Yes, we're appealing to anybody in the community who wishes to report a crime relating to historical sexual abuse in day and boarding schools run by religious orders to make contact with an Garda Síochána. The appeal was launched on the 4th of September last week, and since then over 160 contacts have been received by us. For the purpose of reporting to the Gardaí, the following options are available. So there are three options. The first simple option is calling to any Garda station, emailing the address gnpsb_scmu@garda.ie. The email will be on our Facebook page and you will share it, hopefully.
Of course.
And in case, by phoning the Garda sexual abuse reporting line on 1-800-555-222. So that's 1-800-555-222. And again, this is confidential and a free service available 24/7. So anybody who makes contact with an Garda Síochána on such matters will subsequently receive personal contact as soon as practicable. So we're inviting anybody who believes that they were the victim of a criminal act relating to sex abuse in the boarding schools to come forward and report it, please.
And there's a system in place there, isn't there?
Yes, we're fully aware of the impact on the lives of those who are subject to abuse, Greg, and many of whom may only be disclosing this information for the first time. So we will deal with all matters reported by complainants in a very sensitive and, where possible, progress through investigation. So all these matters are being dealt through the National Protective Services Bureau, who retain oversight of the investigations, and they will be investigated by our specially trained members in the Divisional Protective Services Unit, and we have a unit specifically in Donegal.
Yeah, and it's not only those that themselves who were victims to on Garda Síochána is appealing to anyone who may have any information, like a witness, for example.
Yes, you may be a witness in school at the time. You may have been told something, you may have saw something, and again, it's not just victims we're looking for to come forward, it's also witnesses.
Right, okay, very important. We'll share that information on our socials, as will on Garda Síochána, of course, through the Donegal on Garda Síochána Facebook page. Now, Relay for Life 2024 presentation night took place.
Yeah, that was last night. A number of our team were there. It was announced that the grand total raised from the Relay for Life was an astounding €150,000. So we're honoured to once again take part in the event. I want to congratulate the organisers, the other team members, and everybody who contributed in any way towards the grand total raised. And we're already looking forward to 2025 Relay for Life.
Yeah, €150,000. You're fantastic. All the teams and all the people involved, but also the super generosity of the wider public. Eunan, thanks so much.
Greg, thank you for having
time.
Me.
I really
thank you.
Appreciate
Enjoy
it.
Enjoy the rest of your week.
Indeed, thank you. Same to you. That's Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, who's attached, of course, to the Letterkenny Garda Station. If you missed anything there, you can listen back to it on our podcast, available in the Listen Back section of our website at around about 12:30. You can also rewatch it back across our socials, which we'll share later, and also on Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page. Thank you to all of you who are taking the time to call us or to message us as it relates to the defective concrete blocks issues we've been discussing. I really encourage you to do so because it helps us to collate all the information, to sort of get a sense of how it's affecting everybody in different ways. And all comments are read. The majority of them are read on air, but they're all read and are very important to us. So thank you very much for that. New figures published by the Irish Independent show that house prices in Donegal grew by more than twice the national average. Well, Austin Reynolds is director of Sherry Fitzgerald Real Estate. He's with me now. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Greg. Many thanks for having me on your show.
No, it's great to be on. It's great to have you on, Austin. Historically, it seems that when we saw increases that were above sort of national averages, it felt like, well, that's because you're coming from a low base, you know, so it's going to look more dramatic. Is it still... Are we still in that space, Austin?
Well, you're absolutely correct in saying that. I suppose your earlier contributors on the Mica section defective block. I suppose that has really taken a lot of stock out of the equation locally as well, I suppose, especially around the larger urban centres of Letterkenny and Buncrana. So coupled with the fact a low base and taking a lot of housing stock off the market as such, you know, have seen with an increased demand that has, you know, resulted in prices increasing higher than they have done in other parts of the country.
Maybe this is more a question about new builds, I don't know. But also, you know, whenever you set a cap on something, often quotes and prices go up to that cap. Unfortunately, that just seems to be the way it is. Does the introduction of the scheme have any impact on sort of the cost of either new or presently built homes?
Well, I suppose it has locally put up construction costs, all right. So there is incentives as well for people that are buying newly built houses, and there's some very generous schemes that are out there, such as the Help to Buy scheme, where an intending first-time buyer can get $30,000 towards the purchase, as well the First Home scheme. So these incentives, they may have slightly uplifted the prices as well, because they've increased demand for new build houses. But you know, since COVID ended, construction costs, inflation has been there. So there is a myriad of issues that have caused these prices to increase, both for construction and for the end product, really. Like, interest rates have risen over the last 2 years, but it hasn't had negative impact on prices. Interest rates now appear to be having peaked and are going down, albeit slightly. So I would expect the prices would probably continue on the same, you know, they won't increase to that level, but I would expect this sort of price pricing structure to remain in place for the foreseeable.
And is that really until more properties become available? Because even just in the rental market, we have a very tiny little percentage of availability, which is a good indicator to, I suppose, as the direction prices might go. And as you mentioned, you know, very few houses, you know, coming to market. So until supply increases, is this the way things go for the foreseeable, as you mentioned?
Well, I don't see any reason, or I don't see any cause that would alleviate, I suppose, both the cost of renting a property and the cost to buy a house. And supply is the name of the game to stop. Nobody wants to see price increases to such an extent. From our perspective as selling agents, it's the quantity, not increasing prices, that are important for our business. And if there is, like, there's a wholly inadequate supply of rental properties, there isn't really bank appetite to lend to potential investors. There's not property funds buy to lets really in Donegal. They're concentrated on the urban centres. You go to some of the smaller villages in County Donegal and we couldn't rent for love or money. There's absolutely no stock available there. So there is signs that there is increasing supply. There's a lot of social housing schemes that are, I suppose, getting to that stage now, particularly around Letterkenny. There'll be a number of approved housing bodies, Donegal County Council schemes, and indeed there's a number of private housing developments that are ready to come to the market over the next 12 months. So there is hope on the horizon that the supply side will come good. But these things take time, obviously, to put together. A housing development takes time and a lot of money invested in it to get to the stage that you have an end product.
Austin, do you think there's many houses out there that people are sitting on them waiting maybe till they feel we've got to the top of the market, or we're not in that environment here?
Well, possibly, yeah. Everybody looks at the merits of their own asset. If you own a property, when is the right time to sell it? You're trying to second guess. There's a lot of variables that can prove you wrong if you're holding on and not selling. So I would assume that there are people out there that are waiting until the market increases a little more. And then there's some people that, you know, that have their house rented, and there's good protections for tenants, rightly so. And maybe they're not able to get the property, albeit if they want to, on the market anytime soon to sell it.
All right, fascinating. All right, Austin, listen, thank you so much for your time. Lovely speaking to you.
No worries, Greg. Thanks
Take
for having
care.
Me on.
Austin Reynolds, Director of Sherry Fitzgerald Real Estate. Okay, back to your comments here now. Are the rates for the scheme being increased pro rata in line with Engineer Ireland's rates, i.e. for homes that are under the capped grant amount? I'm about to start my build based on a letter issued last Christmas. Will these letters be reissued to reflect new rates? A very important question that we just don't have an answer for at the moment. Heartbreaking to listen to, Mary. Shocked what's going on. Dara O'Brien should be in the studio listening to her story. And it's so important to me that we never forget what people, their lived experience of what people are going through. And I have nothing but admiration for Mary in coming on and sharing that story, because I don't think a lot of people, even up here, many do, but I don't think a lot of people know the heartache that's going on. And I've no problem talking to more people if they feel they have a story that needs to be gotten out there. Another listener says, Greg, my heart goes out to that lady, and she's speaking for everyone in this situation. Another, this is hard listening. I'm in this unfortunate situation, and today is a hard day. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. I placed my commencement notice only 2 weeks ago, as my house had become too unhealthy to live in. Contrary to what some councillors would have you believe in their pre-election run-up, my grant amount would be leaving me having to fund at the minimum €70,000 along with my grant. I made the decision to move on as the deterioration of my home and the mould and damp issues were affecting my mental and physical health, and also my family's. To think that the government would place families on the brink of bankruptcy like this, but with no choice than to moving on, then go back to their promise that any families moving on would not be penalised, is absolutely heartless and, may I say, even sadistic. Shame on the Fianna Fáil Housing Minister Dara O'Brien and any government member that would support this travesty of human justice. We're down, but certainly not out. I thought my campaigning was over, but this is totally unjust on every humane level. This needs to be fought and will be. That man's wrong to blame builders in general. Most builders are genuine. I can't blame them for government greed, says a listener. Right, OK. Let's go straight to Niall Blaney, Senator Niall Blaney. Good morning, Niall. How are you getting on?
Good, Greg. And you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. Right. Your name was in the hat to go forward for the Fianna Fáil selection convention to choose two candidates for the forthcoming general election. Am I correct in saying that you're confirming this morning that you're withdrawing your name?
Yeah, well, I suppose I officially withdrew my name last week, and I didn't do any press on it, Gray, but yeah, it's out today that I withdrew my name. And I suppose not easy doing that. I had a very good, actually blown away by the vote I got in Donegal, the European election. And very thankful of those that put me forward for this style convention to contest, and those that pressurised me to run. But I suppose for me, it's about considering the consequences of running. But moreover, it's about Donegal and how best you can place pressure at a Dublin level to ensure that we get the best we can in Donegal. And I suppose we're coming at a very critical time. A lot of progress has been made in the likes of the TNT and the A5, which is massive for Donegal. In the next 2 years, it's critical. And having a minister at the table is massive when it comes to issues like this. We wouldn't have had the progress that we've had thus far. And I think the best foot forward is to try to ensure that we again have someone at the table. And Chairman McConnell is best placed to do that.
I mean, really, and I suppose in terms of your... Charlie. Sorry, I beg your pardon, Niall. I really suppose... I really suppose in terms of your political ambitions, it's sort of geography and timing as well, isn't it, really? And I think you've kind of outlined that in that... You wouldn't want to necessarily split the vote for Charlie McConnell, but if he wasn't standing, I presume you would stand, or if you were in South Donegal, you'd be certainly leaving your name in the hat.
Well, geography and I suppose politics in general, timing is a lot to do with it as well, and it depends when you come into being in political life. Sometimes you can be lucky, and sometimes you're unlucky. But at the end of the day, me running at this stage and Charlie running would just split the vote and leave us no chance of pushing for that cabinet position. That said, we have a good chance of taking two seats. There's a good chance of taking back that seat into the Donegal this time as well. But moreover, it's great that we have good people within the party that actually want to run. And Donald Mandy and Ben Harkin and Michael Nutt and Patrick O'Gallagher and Charlie McConnell. it's great that we have a good choice of candidates. And but from my perspective, purely my perspective, and like I said to you, the next couple of years is critical. We've a lot of needs in Donegal now as well. But those two projects are absolutely vital to Donegal's future.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the important thing is getting someone that can be at cabinet table, and Charlie McConlow was best placed to do that again. And that's why he'd be having my support.
In terms of, and I'm only asking this question because you've publicly supported Charlie McConlow, in terms of what you believe may be the best strategy or your favoured running mate for Minister McConlough, is it either or Pat the Cope Gallagher or Councillor Micheál Nocton? Are you prepared to publicly express a preference there? Not in terms of the individuals themselves, but I suppose also in maximising that good chance your party has of returning too.
I think they're both excellent candidates. I think Micheál Nocton has an incredibly good profile. Through his work with the GAA and as a councillor, a hard worker. But Pat the Cope's record is second to none, but I wouldn't be sticking my nose in Donegal South West.
I'll go on.
I wouldn't do it here, Greg, you know, and I wish them both well in the contest, and may the best man win. And either way, we'll have a good candidate, we can be sure of that, whichever one comes through.
Obviously, and it's another timing coincidence, defective concrete black on the agenda today. We're hearing some heartbreaking stories of people who were encouraged to go early onto the scheme, being told that they wouldn't be penalised from it. Obviously, any improvement is to be welcomed. And I'm sure Minister McConlough has his role in securing that increase of 10%, which is yet to be announced. That being said, would you hope that the time between now and that announcement, that efforts are made to try and make sure no one is left behind, that there is some retrospective element to it?
Well, the 10% was announced by Minister McConnell this week, Greg, but the detail on the rates are expected to go through Cabinet next week, so there'll be more concrete information at that stage. And I suppose I've always said that the scheme will evolve, and it has to evolve because we're learning all along the way. But the quicker we get to the review, full review of IAS 465, until we know exactly where we're at with the scheme, it's difficult for everyone involved. It's heartache for an awful lot of people. And that heartache is unfortunately going to continue. But the important thing from our perspective is to ensure that the scheme stays on track, that the officials get to do their work, and that we get to roll out the scheme quicker than is currently happening. And there's no easy way of fixing these houses. There's no easy way of going about it. It's actually quite complicated and difficult for an awful lot. But all we can try and do is to continue to get improvements in the scheme, and those improvements will continue, I have no doubt, into the future. And the scheme will evolve. It's not the entire fix for everybody, but even in this 10% will mean a lot more people now come in and can achieve that 100%.
Mm. Okay. Finally, Sandra, I mean,
slowly but surely.
You know, I mean, you've been a team player, and perhaps maybe sometimes your team hasn't treated you the best, but even in your latest move, you know, you're putting the party first, perhaps rather as opposed to your own ambitions. With all that being said, and with the the European election campaign and what went on there, and of course this development and seemingly clearing a path for Minister McConlough, you know, is there anything in it for you, if you know what I mean? I mean, do you believe your party owe you anything in terms of an appointment or a position or something of further influence?
I put what you said there, Greg, differently. I've always put the county first. The county is number one for me. It's about, it's about using politics as best you can to try to get projects to the county. And for me, having a minister at the cabinet table, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's not about the party. It's not about backing Charlie McConlough. It's about us being in the strongest position to ensure that projects are delivered in Donegal. And that's my sole focus. It always has been, Greg. It always will be. That's how we approach these things, because it's too important not to do it any other way. So from my perspective, I'll go for the challenge again. I won't be getting any other jobs or extra jobs, Greg. You know how the European election went. I wouldn't have an expectation other than to try and win my Shannon City and the whole opposition and the support Minister McConnell Logan and delivery projects within the county.
All right. That's
my focus.
No, that's fine. I appreciate your candour. Okay. Thank you very much indeed, Senator Noel Blaney there. We were talking about scams. I received a Hi Mum text message saying to text back as they've broken the phone. Please be aware of these scams. None of my children have broken their phones. Regarding defective blocks in Inishowen, from demolition to the finished product project, there's never been any quality control done. Why is that? Asks a listener. Back to scams. I received a text from AIB saying that my loan had been approved. I knew that it was a scam and I just deleted it. Indeed, yeah, I get those all the time as well. Sounds like Senator Blaney jumped before he was pushed. The Blaney name does not hold the status it once enjoyed. Fianna Fáil need new faces if they want to move forward into the future. I wouldn't subscribe to that view as it relates to Senator Blaney. I would take it that he made that decision himself. Here, listen to this one about defective concrete blocks. We're €140,000 short due to the cap. We got our confirmation of the grant amount from the council 2 weeks ago. So sickened to think the government do not want us to get the extra 10%. All our eggs are in Coleman Legal's basket. And I forgot about that. That's another strand for redress that's ongoing. More propaganda from Wind Energy Ireland. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. The turbines need fossil fuel backup 24/7 to maintain the grid in Ireland's case. It is gas, hence the government want to import crack gas from the USA, where communities are having their water polluted by cracking there. Fracking, isn't it? There is nothing green about industrial wind turbines. Remember, mean bog. Maybe now with the Apple money, the $13 billion, the poor children suffering as they wait on scoliosis surgery will get their operations. They're having to transport an awful lot of those children abroad for their treatment. Does anyone know if there are services for adults with dyslexia in Donegal? I'm trying to inquire and feel like I'm getting nowhere. Well, let us help you, listener. Any services. Now, if you want to give us some more information as to what type of services or what have you, or maybe that's enough. But this is an adult who is looking for services for adults with dyslexia in Donegal. They feel very frustrated as they're trying to find out but getting nowhere. Can you help, please? Adult services. Adult dyslexia services. Please let us know and we'll pack it on or pass it on to that listener. I'll come back to you, by the way, if you've commented about defective concrete. We're changing tact somewhat now because we're joined on the programme by Councillor Fionnán Bradley. Thank you for your time this morning. Fionnán, good morning to you.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners.
Right, OK. So an event is being organised to establish a town team in Buncrana. What's a town team, or what will it look like?
Well, basically, Greg, a town team under this guise is a conglomerate of interested parties, I suppose is the best way of putting it. So any and every group in Buncrana, should it be voluntary groups, community groups, the schools and the education sector, the local development partnership, indeed elected members, anybody and everybody that has an interest in Buncrana and trying to promote it and better it in any way, really, Greg.
It's a drop-in event. It takes place on Wednesday, September 11th from 6 p.m. or 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. in St. Mary's Hall, Buncrana. And I suppose, really, people can land in at any stage, by the way. You don't have to attend between 3 and 6. Whether this gets off the ground or not is dependent on who turns up and the turnout for that meeting, as I say, on Wednesday, September 11th from 3 at St. Mary's Hall.
Yeah, and indeed, Greg. And in fact, in relation to the time, I had received a number of queries from people who had expressed an interest in it and who hoped to attend, but felt that the 6 o'clock time was probably a bit tight for them, obviously, with people working to maybe either 5 or 6. So in consultation with the council, the event has actually been extended now and it's on from 3 p.m. until 8 p.m. tomorrow. So that's just to give those who maybe are working that bit later a chance to turn up and should it be on their way home or whatever. And tomorrow's event will be fairly informal and relaxed, and it'll be led by our regeneration officer, Patricia McIntyre, from the council. So, it'll really just be a chance for people to come along and find out what is a town team and what's involved in it, and indeed a bit about this particular initiative and the town centre first policy and the suite of supports that come with it, and indeed the funding that's associated with it, which is of course very important.
Yep, the council has received funding of €10,000 and the establishment, it's not just Buncrana, Creasla, Buncrana, Ballybofey and Stranraer to build these town teams. So how do you envisage, or do we know, Fionnán, how do you envisage them working into the future? Like, are they feeding into the local municipal district? Is there a seat at the table with the council? How do you envisage them functioning going forward?
Well, at this stage, Greg, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not entirely sure, because the process is as new to me as it is to anybody else that hopefully will come to the event tomorrow. But, I mean, I should hope that it would be a semi-permanent thing. I don't envisage it being something that's established and maybe that it would get, say, one tranche of funding to work on a particular project and then that would be it. I would hope that it would only be the start of something much bigger and much better and something on a sort of a permanent footing that could constantly be driving progress and development within and indeed for the wider Buncrana area and Creasla and Ballybofey. That would certainly be my hope and my vision for it now, but how it actually pans out remains to be seen.
Okay, well, you'll find out more by dropping in to St Mary's Hall tomorrow, anytime between 3 and 6, and maybe you might become a member of the Buncrana town team. They're looking for representations from right across the board, from councillors to just people that live in the area, business owners, charities, volunteer organisations, community groups, and on it goes. In other words, anyone with an interest in Buncrana, I think, is the catch-all for that. All right, thanks very much for helping us get the word out, Fionnán.
Thank you, Greg, and we'll see everybody from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, is it 8 p.m.?
Thank you.
Okay, I've got 6 p.m. It's 8 p.m.
It is. It's been extended out to 8 p.m.
That's
just
really
to allow
important
those who are working at
that. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I'll clarify that again. Thanks so much. So that's tomorrow between 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. My notes have it 6 p.m, but it's been pushed out to 8 p.m. You can understand why, to accommodate those who may be on the way back from work. 086 60 25,000. Right. I have comments here to bring us up to the news at 11. And they read as follows. Morning, Greg. I'm a homeowner with defective blocks. I can't understand this approach. It is more of closing the gates when the horse has bolted instead of calling out ministers. Why were some of these people not working with Martin McDermott to ensure all applicants are included? And other people should not forget that they just spent €320,000 on a bike shed in Dublin and there wasn't a thought given about it. Obscene amount of money. Until the public found out. Now they're resisting helping families repair and stay in their homes. Something is seriously rotten in our government departments. Time people took their heads out of the sand and started looking at what's going on as a nation. Let me see. The interview with Mary needs to be shared in social media so we can share it around the world and let the people see what's going on in Donegal. Well, I will be clipping parts of that. And I think really perhaps the greatest reach in this area is probably on the X platform, if the truth be told. Talking about the bike shed, over 12 years ago, we spent €54 million for a voting machine and then sold them for €9 each for scrap. As well, there are millions overspent in the new children's hospital that you need a parachute to get to. And, I mean, we talk about scoping exercise, about spending. You're quite right. We just happened to find out about that bike shed. And there's other things that we just happened to find out about. Much of it is down to a handful of really good journalists that dig through some of this stuff. Others, it's happenstance. Greg, the last time sports capital grants were announced was in the month of February. This time it's in the autumn. Election year coincidence? I think not. Do they think that we're stupid? In relation to these grants, I did a bit on this before because that's not the first time that message has come through here. And I can't remember exactly the reason as to why they were delayed this year. I think it was something to do with the fact that they're over 5 years and they're not actually necessarily given out at the same time every year. There was something about it in any case. I'll try and see if I can find that info out again. Greg, from a government perspective, the defective concrete block scheme is operating exactly as it was designed. It was designed to limit the number of applicants who could avail of a practicable solution and allow the government to throttle the total amount of money allocated. It seems like most of your listeners are of the opinion that the government should be acting in their best interest. In relation to the defective block issue in Donegal, this has never been the case, believe this listener. But the tone of most of your callers seems to be that they expected the scheme to be viable. It won't. It's not fair or equitable for people whose homes are crumbling, But people need to wake up and realise that in Donegal this will never happen. Sinn Féin say they'll fix it, but their solution will be to construct a smart tower block and offer the person with the defective house a flat in exchange for the deeds to the defective property. Now, that I've never heard tell of that before. A smart tower block and swapping deeds, that's... I'm not across all government, all parties' policies, but I've never heard tell of that at all. Just to comment on the fact that in Inishowen and Donegal, voters had the opportunity to really show Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens at the local elections that their parties were going to be held accountable for their inactivity for the people, but they still voted for them. In Carn Donagh, 26.1% of first preference. Buncrana, 23.3%. Letterkenny, 32.2%. Lifford, 19% first vote preference. First preference votes. Milford, 19%. But I've said all the while, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, both are incredibly popular parties. And I've said it for the longest time, even when Sinn Féin were at 37%, that the numbers stack up, that it's very possible that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will return to power in this country. There's certainly, it's not a fait accompli. And I said that when Sinn Féin were at 37%. Now they're down in the high teens again. So nothing about that would surprise me, because there are parties with a strong support in Donegal and across the country.